Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
My apologies for two reasons. My first apology is that I still sound rotten. My second apology is because this little montage is way too long.
I'm sorry.
Terribly sorry.
I am sorry.
So sorry.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
Please accept.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My apology.
This is... Oh, it's still going on.
I apologize for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Here we... Oh.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you.
I'm more sorry than you'll ever know.
Sorry about this. I know it's a bit silly.
Sorry!
This is Wretched Radio. Let's do this. Shall we?
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza.
It wasn't a very good mix, was it, Jimmy?
Featuring your voicemails, correspondences, yeah, okay. Communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Okay, struggling a little bit still with the nasal business. Nevertheless, feel fit as a fiddle and super thankful that you send stuff, which you continue to do, and so grateful that you send things to idea@wretched.org or you text like a nobody's business to 877-282-2337.
So, do you think you're going to be able to think in order to answer these questions? I'm just asking.
But just because my nose, I can't breathe through my nose, doesn't mean that I'm not getting oxygen.
Okay, so you're...
Although I got to tell you, when you got that head cold and you're sleeping at night and you become a mouth breather and you wake up and it's like, who put Triscuits in my mouth? I hate that. Yeah. It's awful. And isn't it amazing, once again, how the Lord made the human body? We've got this big gaping hole. So when we're exercising, we're doing a strenuous activity, we get the oxygen we need. But when we're sleeping so that we don't turn into... He gave us a nose. Brilliant. I'm serious. Absolutely brilliant. That thought dawned on me a number of times when I was twisting in bed. Oh, man. It was the achy flu. Ugh. And the headachy flu. I'm pretty certain this is right. You've got muscles on the side of your head. Have you ever had that headache? And people sometimes, they rub their temples. Well, you rub the side of your head, like right above your ear. It's like you got muscles there. And just, I had whatever this yuck is that everybody seems to be getting. That was my version of it. And lots of sleep and lots of Triscuit making. 877-282-2337.
All right, we're going to start with a question from Teresa. Todd, can a person who denied Christ all their life become a Christian when they no longer have their mental capacities because of Alzheimer's? I've heard of several people saying their parents did this and wondered if it was possible.
Well, there has to be some sort of cognitive functioning. There has to be some ability to comprehend on some level. Now, would I make some sort of a definitive statement when it comes to a degenerative disease like that? I wouldn't want to make that sort of pontification because we know that. Have you seen the videos? Remember the ballet lady, which I think is actually called a ballerina, not to get all technical, but she's in a nursing home and she was in her chair. And pretty diminished, though she was probably a very slight lady anyway. And they started playing Swan Lake. And instantly, her arms started beautifully to... And it's like, it's there. It's there. And how many videos... In fact, I think we did a montage of this once, not as long as that sorry montage, but it was a montage of people who were at the bedside of people who had Alzheimer's, who were almost just completely incapacitated. and they'd start singing Amazing Grace or Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. How's about that woman? Do you remember that woman? The video was, hey, mom, who am I? I don't know. Hey, what'd you have for lunch today? I don't know. Where are you? I don't know. Do you remember Stan Johnson? I don't know. Who's Jesus? He's my savior. I love Jesus. He rescued me. He forgave me. Where did that come from? So can those things happen? I wouldn't say that God couldn't do that, but I would not rely on that, because once the brain, there is a cognitive aspect of salvation. You got to understand truth. You've got to hear the truth. You've got to be able to process the truth. Now, God does all of that work for us, but nevertheless, don't delay. Don't bank on that. Be as eager and aggressive as you can with sharing the gospel while somebody has their cognitive capacities. I wouldn't say that they're condemned if you stall on that and that God couldn't save them once they continue to diminish to a point where we would say, I don't know that they're processing anything. He could, but I wouldn't delay. I'd make it a matter of urgency as much as you possibly can and trust the Lord in these things, because I happen to know out of the tens and tens of people listening to this here wretched radio program, not only are people who have parents or loved ones who have Alzheimer's kind of noodling this right now, so are those who have children who would be deemed as somewhere on the mental health spectrum, the being mentally incapacitated to some degree. They're wondering, can my kid get saved? Can my kid get saved? I think that we can be more encouraging than less encouraging with that. Because I think that God, I'm stammering right now, not because of the medication I'm on, but because I don't want to get this wrong and be unnecessarily offensive. Is mentally retarded still a word that can be used?
I mean, I think it's an official diagnosis. So,
oh, okay, yeah. Okay. All right. We're all mentally retarded. All of us. Serious. I know. The idea is that this would be mental capacities outside of the norm. But what I'm saying is that all of our brains are diminished. All of them. Are you kidding me? We love to think that we're progressing. We are regressing. We are devolving, not evolving. Our brains aren't getting better. Do you see what our ancestors used to be able to do and create and think and write? We're going downhill. So let's be careful that we don't disqualify somebody from the kingdom because they can't get it. Now, a couple of things surrounding that. Number one, if somebody genuinely cannot get it, first of all, could God make them to get it? Sure, he could do that. But just because if they can't get it, I think God is merciful to those. Now, I'm talking about from birth. I'm not talking about somebody who is 50 years old, who has a brain injury and now can't get it. I fear their fate would be sealed. Because they are incapacitated and they cannot process the truth and respond rightly to it. But I'm talking about children that are born that way. I think God is gracious and kind, and he's going to take your child to heaven when they do die. And I think you can have complete comfort in that. Furthermore, if you do have a child that is, I hope this word is correct, mentally retarded, you need to know that God can work with very little. Don't underestimate childlike faith. Simple faith that if your child doesn't really seem to process much or anything, if they can get Jesus, that's enough. It really is. The think thief on the cross. We're given the thief on the cross, I think, for this very reason. It's not something that we should lean on and go, okay, we'll just wait till somebody's almost dead. Not a problem. Hey, they can get saved. No, that's not the purpose of it. Nor is it to say that everybody who has a deathbed confession makes a genuine profession of faith, but it is to say it can happen and it does happen. And it's a simple faith. He did not understand the hypostatic union. He did not understand the Trinity, for that matter. He knew that Jesus Christ was God. He knew that. Now, that doesn't mean we have license to have a low degree in theology, But it does mean that if you've got a child who can't process much, they might just be able to process enough. So don't be disheartened. Keep singing songs to them. Keep reading them the Bible. Keep doing those things with hope. And know that God can save, if they have those enough cognitive abilities, God can save them. And if they don't have those abilities, he has saved them and he will take them safely home with him when they die. I think we can be more hopeful with this. And I understand why somebody might be a little gun shy. Hey, you're getting a little loosey goosey with soteriology there, pal. Well, okay, I guess it's loosey if it's not biblical, but I like to think that it is. Keep singing. Keep praying. Keep talking to them about Jesus. Keep reading them stories. You have a loved one with Alzheimer's? Don't give up hope. Just don't give up hope. And I think the comfort that you can find, we don't want to just become universalists that say, well, everybody got saved. But I do think that you can, if you're not sure, rest in God's goodness and say, I just don't know. I didn't get to see any fruits of it, but I know that God is good, and I know that he will do the right thing with my incapacitated loved one, because I know the character and the nature of my loving God. This is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This is intelligent talk radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
We cannot disengage from the battle, and there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What's the matter now?
I got this. My ears are filling up. I got this sinus condition. It's the change in temperature. I always get it from air conditioning.
Well, maybe it'll go away.
No, it's all part of my allergies. I get them in the summer.
Only in the summer?
And in the winter, too. I get them all year long. Allergic to foods. And pillows and curtains and perfumes. Can you imagine that? Allergic to perfumes? I used to drive Frances crazy. For a while, she couldn't wear anything except my aftershave lotion. I was impossible to live with.
Stop that, will you? What are you doing? I'm trying.
All that to say, the program that you're listening to could be worse.
I'm trying to clear up my ears. You create a pressure inside your head, it opens up the eustachian tubes.
I'm laughing and crying simultaneously. This is Wretched Radio. Very grateful that you send stuff, whatever you happen to think it is that is wretched. You can forward it to idea@wretched.org, or if you like to use the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Dan.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. From Dan. Todd, I'm wondering if you could give some direction on what the best way to divide up an inheritance. How would you divide up things when there are children that aren't followers of Jesus that are lazy?
Now, so this is the dad or mom perspective.
Yeah, and we'll use the money in a way that would be contrary to how I would want that money used.
Source number one, Bible. What does it say about an inheritance? Well, it does actually speak about it. Number one, it would say that leaving an inheritance to your children is a perfectly good thing. In other words, if you have amassed any money that God has allowed you to stockpile, you have the right to give it to your kids. You've got biblical permission to do that. Having said that, I would also suggest that giving from the grave should priority-wise, shouldn't change from when we're alive. In other words, we should be thinking kingdom advancement. What can I give that will forward the gospel, that will strengthen a local church, that will encourage ministries that try to share the gospel or strengthen the local church? So I think biblically, you can leave an inheritance. Where it goes, I think kids and ministry are, I think would be the leanings that I get from the Bible. But having said that, I do not see percentages. I do not see that you've got to give this percent, or I don't even see that giving the same amount to each child is biblically mandated, because I think wisdom would indicate there are some kids where it would just be downright foolish to give them a lot of money. If you know that a kid is going to put that money right up their nose or use it for licentious living, well, I don't think that that's wise. And there are some kids where I don't think it's wise to give them money without a trustee, where there isn't some sort of will, so that it's in a trust so that they can't just grab the money and do dumb things. That's just being dumb. That's not being wise. So those are the principles that I see in the Bible. You have liberty to make these decisions as you see fit. Let me suggest this. Sit down and make these decisions when your frame of mind is not agitated and you're not annoyed with the kids, because you'll make bad decisions if you do. Start there, but you're not done yet. Don't bring this to the lawyer's office or don't do the will thing that the advertised on TV that you can do on the internet. Don't do that yet. Bring somebody into your life with whom you can be transparent, probably somebody who has kids and maybe even grandkids, to say, here's what we're thinking about. You know our kids or you don't. I'm just going to give you a brief summary of each one of the kids. And this is what they're like. And this is what we're thinking about with our will. What do you think? Now, that requires, you don't have to give amounts. You don't have to say dollar amounts. You could say percentages. That's fine. I think you can be discreet with some of those details, but I think you could be transparent with them and how you're feeling about these things. And if they are godly people, they're going to be able to give you godly counsel and say, you know, I think you're a little heavy here, you're a little light there. And it sounds like when you talk about this kid, you got this issue going on. What would you think about this idea? What are you doing? You're doing life together with Christians. This is why church is supposed to be so much more than just showing up when you feel like it on Sunday for the show. These are the things that we should be doing together. How do you make these decisions? And there's smart people in your congregation. You better believe there are. There are people, oh, it's almost certain. Okay, I guess somebody in the congregation has to be the most successful, but most likely you're not it. And there's other people that are probably smarter. Maybe you're the guy, maybe you're the gal that's the most educated. It's somebody's got to be, but that's only one person. The rest of us could use other people's help. And to think that you can't tap into that wisdom because you don't need it, oh, that I would say, that, but the Bible would say that would be being foolish. So I think you've got liberty, I think you've got principles, and I think you've got wisdom that you should tap into. And then I think the decision is totally up to you. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Brad. Todd, since you're a talk show host, I know you'll have the right answer.
Got that right.
Do you think we will need to reconcile with anyone we have wronged or have been wronged by when we get to heaven, or will there be full reconciliation automatically?
I think that's interesting to dive that deeply into it. I think it'll be all gone. I think in the twinkling of an eye, everything is going to be made right. Does that mean, however, you can't have a human interaction? Could it not mean, let's just say, maybe it was a sibling, a loved one, your parent, whatever. You divided, and it just, you never got around to reconciling and doing the business. Can I imagine, with a sanctified imagination, that you get to heaven and you both were saved? Maybe you didn't even know that relative got saved. And you see them. Now, will you be reconciled? Yes, because everything will be made new. Everything will have been made right. But that doesn't mean you can't experience that what has been accomplished by Jesus. When you see that individual, can I see you embracing? Can I see you even crying tears of joy that Jesus has reconciled you, brought you into his kingdom, and you're going to get to spend eternity together living in unity and harmony? Oh, absolutely, I can. And I think there's going to be millions of those sweet transactions and occurrences. I don't think we have any idea what is in store for us in heaven. And I really think that this is a guiding principle. I don't think it should become the chief principle. I don't think that this should alter everything that we consider about heaven. But I do believe this single sentence is really instructive. Heaven is going to be more familiar than you think. Why will there be anything less in heaven than there is on earth? Come on, when you get together with somebody with whom you've reconciled on this life, is it not sweet and profound and deep? Of course it is. Why wouldn't you get to enjoy that in heaven? Now, I don't think that it's going to be an ongoing thing because you're not going to be sinning against each other and need it ever again. But being brought together for the first time in that joyful reunion, why wouldn't that be joyfully tear-filled and wonderful? I see no reason why not. Why? Because I think heaven is more familiar. You're going to have a body. You're going to have your senses. Do you think God is going to take smell away from you? Do you think that God, I gave you music on earth, but no more music, no more plays, no more jokes, no more thrill rides. Nope, I'm taking all of it away. Why would we think that? It is going to be a new earth, not a diminished earth. It's going to be a better earth. And I think that, I don't know that I could say every single thing that we experience in this life will be there, but I have no reason to believe that it wouldn't be there. Okay. I don't know if you noticed, but I had a little bit of a head cold thing going on. And while I was sitting there in a drug-induced stupor, I watched some YouTube, but not a lot. I just slept a ton. Tried to write a sermon. did my duties here as much as I possibly could. But I admit, one day I sat in a chair, maybe for like 40 minutes, and I watched dog videos. And just the reunions, and just like when somebody, there was this dude, he had cancer, and they brought in this stray dog that immediately just like grabbed onto the guy, just saw him through it, loving him, snuggling, cuddling with him. God's going to take that away? Why would he do that? Why wouldn't heaven be populated with these things that we hold so dear? Heaven isn't going to be less. Heaven is going to be staggeringly more. Chiefly, Jesus face to face. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.